You are listening to Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. It's May 29th, 2019. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you may email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. It's my great pleasure to welcome Enrico Leiva, ND, naturopathic physician, to Radio Naturopath today. Rick Leiva has been in practice since 1982. He specializes in botanical medicine, clinical nutrition, and counseling. He's a graduate of Temple University School of Pharmacy and a doctorate of naturopathic medicine from the National College of Naturopathic Medicine, my alma mater, which is now the National University of Natural Medicine. He's the managing physician at the Connecticut Center for Health in Middletown, Connecticut, a founding member of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, the acting president of the Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association, and a member of the Advisory Council for the University of Bridgeport's College of Naturopathic Medicine. Welcome, Rick.
Well, good morning, Fran.
Woohoo!
Very happy to be here.
Yes, we're so happy to have you on.
Well, thanks.
Great to hear your voice and great to hear you on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to do it again someday.
Absolutely, and we would love it if you would actually come here physically, and then we could show you around the beautiful town of Mansfield.
I already told him that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just might entice me to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's lovely here. We have Mansfield Hollow. We have good places to eat. Stores is just like
lunch.
Completely changed. We have lunch. Yeah, you know.
Lunch is always nice.
There you go.
So Rick, you can absolutely talk about whatever you'd like, but I know that you have some important news about the state of naturopathic practice in the state of Connecticut.
Right. So I'm going to give a bit of a history just so your listeners have an idea of how to sort of put all of this in their head. The practice of naturopathic medicine started in 1922 in Connecticut. So naturopathic physicians have been licensed in the state of Connecticut since that time, 1922. However, when that law was written, the law said this, that naturopathic physicians could only prescribe food. So when I came to the state in 1982, I hooked up with another ND who had been here a little longer than I. And we decided to go talk to some of the legislators at the Capitol to see if we could get that piece of the law changed. We managed to get it changed from you could only prescribe food to you could prescribe non-prescription items. For instance, anything you walk into and see in a pharmacy, we could prescribe. Obviously, in pharmacies, there's botanicals and vitamins and other things like that. So, but what we could not prescribe are items that basically require a prescription. That means drug authority. So Connecticut naturopathic physicians have no drug authority whatsoever. And let's go through why that's an important issue.
Yes.
So let's take a very, very simple case history. Somebody comes into a naturopathic physician who thinks they have a urinary tract infection. In that office visit, the ND can do some lab tests to determine if there is a urinary tract infection. And if there is, they will try to treat it with natural medicines and not drugs. But if the severity of the urinary tract infection is high, the person is in a lot of discomfort. So we would ideally be able to prescribe the appropriate antibiotic using our drug authority, which we don't have. I'm hypothetical here. And we could give them what they need, send them on their way, and nine times out of 10 or 9.9 times out of 10, a properly chosen antibiotic would get rid of a urinary tract infection. But we can't do that because of the lack of drug authority.
Right.
So what we have to do is tell the patient, well, I'm sorry, I can give you my natural medicine stuff, but I think this is so severe, you need antibiotics. So now the patient has to pay you for the office visit, leave your office, try to get another doctor to see them very quickly because they're in either moderate to severe discomfort. And all of that becomes a waste of time for the patient. The patient now has to pay another copay for another office visit. They may have to wait to get the prescription for the antibiotic, which means they suffer in the meantime, and maybe it gets even worse. If they're lucky enough to get the antibiotic in a short course of time, but there's all those redundancies in there.
Yes.
The insurance company gets billed twice, the patient pays two copays, the patient's inconvenienced, and it just doesn't seem right to be able to do that. So one other thing in relationship to drug authority for naturopathic physicians, I want to tell your audience that we don't want to be able to prescribe every drug under the planet. Or, for instance, we did develop a formulary. That formulary says these are drugs that are excluded, things like cancer drugs and other drugs that really should be the purvey of a specialist. Mm-hmm. But I also developed a formula that are what I call the bread and butter drugs, things that people might want to use or have problems with, certain disease states that we could easily prescribe.
Right.
So, as you know, Fran, we've gone to the legislature now for 6 years trying to get them to change our law to have limited drug authority.
Right.
We don't want all drugs. We just want the ones that are going to help our patients the most and give them more primary care services.
Right.
Okay. If, in fact, that, let's say it happened yesterday and naturopathic doctors could prescribe a limited set of pharmaceutical agents or drugs, that benefits the citizens of Connecticut. Again, they don't have to go with something someplace, pay more money, get the insurance company billed twice, and they get treatment in a timely manner.
Yes.
Not only do they benefit from drug authority in that instance, and I think your audience doesn't probably know a boatload about this because naturopathic physicians have a variety of other treatment modalities that could be injectable treatment modality. So,
right.
For instance, let's say there's an elderly man or a woman who has some gastrointestinal problems and they don't absorb well, and they're kind of wasting away to some degree. Well, in that instance, injectable nutrients, whether it's in the muscle or in the vein, can really help that situation because it can help bolster their vitamin and mineral levels in their body because it doesn't efficiently get absorbed when they take it orally.
Right.
And it's important because you can really improve the quality of somebody's life in a situation like that. And I can give many, many other examples, but there are things that the conventional clinicians, APRNs, medical doctors, and PAs, they don't do certain very important, for instance, the injectable nutrients. Well, how many times do you go to your APRN or PA or your medical doctor and say, geez, I think I'd like, let's say you have a chronic virus and you want someone to give you high-dose vitamin C injectably. Well, medical doctor's not going to do it. The APRN or the PA is not going to do it because they don't do that sort of thing. And that kind of an intervention in an active virus or a chronic virus can help people significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is that we have been trying to get. And I also wanted to compare and contrast something in regard to drug authority in other states where naturopathic physicians are licensed.
Yes, this is an important one.
It's a very important one. So I graduated from the school that Fran did, which is in Oregon. And Oregon had a license for naturopathic physicians, I think, back to 1922. And in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, they also had some degree of limited prescriptive authority. And in the late 70s into the mid-80s, they changed their law and they got significant and very robust prescriptive authority. There's over 2,000 naturopathic doctors in the state of Connecticut or Oregon.
Yes.
So from the mid-80s until now, they've had the benefit of prescriptive authority, and they have almost everything. And I highlight Oregon because it's one of the oldest states that has had drug authority for NDs.
And they're not the only one.
No. Washington State, California, Montana, Nevada, Arizona,
right.
Utah, Vermont, right in our own backyard.
That's
New
right.
New Hampshire, Maine. So one of the arguments that we tried to make with the legislature is, you know, this has been happening for at least 10 to 40 decades or 10 to
40 years.
Between,
yeah.
Right. 10 to 40 years in other states. And when you take a look at the malpractice rate and the suit rate for naturopathic physicians using prescriptive authority in those jurisdictions, the data comes out that says that naturopathic physicians don't get sued hardly ever, don't get complaints against them hardly ever, and ultimately what we get is a safety record based on doing things inappropriately or malpractice and then being sued for it. And there are documents around the country where, you know, people have studied this. And what this proves is that naturopathic physicians do have the education as well as the training to safely prescribe drugs that their patients need on a daily basis.
Right.
Now, I want to make another point here because our opposition, who you can imagine who they are, basically the medical doctors and all of the people that align themselves with the medical doctors, say we are not well trained enough when we do not have the same education they do. Therefore, we may be a public health threat if the legislature gives us this kind of authority. Well, every time I've testified in front of the legislature, I say, well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because if the people in other states that have a naturopathic license are using drugs in a safe manner, and there's no evidence whatsoever that they're not, how can that be true? So they say we're not trained well enough and don't have enough education, but where it's happening, they got the enough training and they got enough education because that track record speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the gist of what this issue is all about. And unfortunately, over the course of the past two, three, four decades, the Commissioner of Health in Connecticut has often been a medical doctor. And when a medical doctor goes into that position, because they hold a lot of sway and power over the naturopathic profession, and if they say, well, we're not comfortable with it, then it usually doesn't happen. And we've been trying to work with the Department of Public Health to give them evidence and information that says naturopathic physicians in other states for 10 to 40 years have been doing this safely. Why won't you let it happen here? And they just keep talking the same party line, which is fed to them by the medical society.
What do they stand to lose if we start prescribing?
Ego.
There you go. So here's a quick question for you, Rick. Now, you say that, you know, the lawsuits are obviously very, very few with naturopathic medicine versus the other world. Would you say that pharmaceuticals have a lot to do with lawsuits?
Sure. And You know, one of the things that I want your audience to know, naturopathic physicians, the last thing they want to do is prescribe a drug.
That's right.
Right, exactly.
So with naturopathic physicians, you're not likely to see what is a very common thing called polypharmacy. And that's when someone comes to a doctor and they tell them about this or that or the other complaint, and they give them one or two drugs, and 4 months later they come back and they get another complaint and they get another one or two drugs, and after a period of time they're on a slew of drugs. That's why it's called poly, meaning many.
Right.
And when that starts to happen, there's interactions that are at play. And interactions don't always get caught between drug and drug or drug and food. And sometimes people start to get real negative side effects from a lot of drugs taken at the same time. And that's where people start to get hurt potentially or affected negatively by drugs. Naturopathic physicians' goal is to minimize the drugs as best as possible and use other interventions, food, diet, lifestyle change, exercise, mental, emotional counseling, the use of nutritional supplements and botanicals. All those things have some value for sure in increasing one's overall health and well-being. So, and, you know, giving a drug to someone, there's always a risk because not everybody handles a drug the same. So, but at the end of the day, the record that shows for naturopathic physicians being able to prescribe things safely still really means a lot.
Right. And one of the things, the other reason we want prescriptive authority is because how many times has a patient come in and said to me, I'm on all of these pharmaceuticals. I would like to come off some of them. And I can't technically, legally take them off or even wean them. I have to always, cover my back and say, just so you know, really, your medical doctor is the one who's supposed to be helping you to wean. But if I had prescriptive authority, I could manage their meds and, you know, give lower doses. I could say how they could take them. I could change their drugs to a safer drug. There's a lot of things that I would do with the drugs they're already on, because you can't just have somebody stop everything cold turkey generally. That's another reason that I would like prescriptive authority.
Yes, and that's absolutely a crucial point. Because there are people that come to naturopathic doctors and say, I'm having too many side effects from the drug I'm on. Is there a way that we could potentially, minimize this? And if I can't get off all the drugs, I will stay on a minimal amount versus be on a large amount. Mm-hmm. So that's a benefit for the patient. But again, as you said, and I think it's worth repeating, unless we have the authority to put people on drugs, we can't pull them off of drugs,
right?
Not without potentially getting into trouble.
Right.
So one of the things your audience may be thinking right now is, well, if I have a horse in this race, i.e., you would like to support, if possible, the effort for naturopathic physicians to get prescriptive authority, there is something you can do if you choose to do it. And there's a new commissioner of health, and she basically has signed off saying no prescriptive authority for naturopathic doctors. This just happened a couple of days ago.
Oh.
And we're trying to get around that, but it may not be possible. My suggestion, if people can and want to do something like this, not twisting anybody's arm at all, just if you're interested, is I suggest write a short letter to the new commissioner of health, which I'll give you her name in a moment and her address, and just say something extremely simple, like, I'm the patient of a naturopathic physician. I believe they're well-trained and educated enough to use limited prescriptive authority, and I want them to have it for my benefit and the benefit of the citizens of Connecticut. Now, I know I just said a mouthful, but it's a really simple concept. I'm a patient of an MD. I live in Connecticut. I want this to happen because it benefits me and other people. So the woman's name is... Hang on a second.
That's okay.
I have to put those things on called spectacles.
Yeah, we got ours going.
No kidding.
Her name is Renee Coleman / Mitchell.
Renee Coleman and Mitchell. Okay.
She can be, if you write a letter, 410 Capital Ave in Hartford, zip code 06134. A simple note to that woman saying what I said before. I'm a patient of a naturopathic physician. I want them to have limited prescriptive authority. I believe they're well-trained and educated to safely do so. And it helps me and it helps the citizens of Connecticut. That's short and simple.
I have so many patients who... I mean, this is sort of a different issue, which is something that once we get prescriptive authority, we can also work on. I have so many patients who say to me, "I want you to be my doctor, Fran." Like they don't want to have a PCP who's not me, and it's hard for us to be PCPs if we don't have prescriptive authority.
Well, I think that's an extremely good point that I wanted to make as well, because when I say benefit the citizens of Connecticut, that really means. If NDs had robust, limited prescriptive authority, we could provide many, many, many more primary care services. You know, there's an awful, awful primary care shortage in the state of Connecticut.
Indeed.
It's up to, we only meet like 30% of the need in the state of Connecticut.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
You would think that... the legislature and the Department of Health will say, well, we have almost 400 NDs here, and if they all wanted to do this, we have more primary care services for the citizens of Connecticut.
That seems like it would make a lot of sense. And it's not just Connecticut. It's nationwide also. There's just a huge lack.
Yes. Well, I'll give you an example. Idaho just got licensed for naturopathic physicians. They have full prescriptive authority.
Ugh.
New Mexico just got licensed. Full prescriptive authority.
Yeah. Because they recognize the need for primary care physicians.
Well, not only that, I think there's, you know, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but there are more open minds on the West Coast than there are here. You know what they say about the New England area, the land of steady habits.
Yeah.
And regarding our initiative, you know, getting drug authority, limited drug authority for our patients, land of steady habits has to move aside because this law is over almost 100 years old. It has not been changed substantially. And, you know, the roadblocks that we face in the legislature, and I'll remind the audience, we've been trying this for 7 years. We've gone back to the legislature 7 times to try to enroll and convince and get legislators to see the value of what we're trying to bring to the citizens of Connecticut.
Right. So Massachusetts and Rhode Island, they just got license, and my understanding is they've got the permission to form their boards. I'm not sure at what stage
yeah,
they're each at.
Yeah,
where are they at in terms of prescriptive authority in those states?
Neither one of them have it.
Ah.
And if they wanted it, most likely they're going to have to go back to the legislature and get it.
Ah. And yet Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine all have it.
They do. And Vermont's story is when they started a naturopathic law there, it from the very beginning included a formulary committee where representatives from the state and the ND profession sat down and hammered out a formulary.
That's
and every
excellent.
Year they looked at the formulary, made it grow, see if there's anything that should be taken off. And that's what happened in New Hampshire. But, you know, those states have been around, licensed and using prescriptive authority for 20-plus years.
Yes.
And they've increased their scope of drugs they can prescribe.
Right.
Matter of fact, Vermont has full prescriptive authority within training, meaning that they can prescribe anything as long as they've been trained to do it. Now, again, a lot of naturopathic doctors are not going to start using cancer drugs because
right.
it's impossible to get that much training to be able to do that. So, but they didn't write that on a list. They just said, you better stay within your training. You'll be okay.
Right.
So much more progressively thinking states than Connecticut. So, you know,
I think my friend Lori Lee Schoenbeck had a lot to do with that.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, those people work very hard to get things done in those states because, again, for them, it's not just about our profession and how we benefit. It's about delivering more primary care services.
Yes.
In Vermont, NDs are considered primary care doctors.
Yes, they are. That was the other thing. Lori Lee was one of the instrumental people to get that going. So proud of her. And I wish we had that in this state. And I have to tell you, I know, and I'm sure this is true of you as well, Rick, my patients want this. They want me to be their PCP. They want me to be in charge of their health care and be the traffic director. I mean, I function that way anyway. I have patients who write me as their PCP and I tell them, you can't do that. I'm not your PCP. I can't
right.
actually be. But that's what our patients want this.
Right.
They want us to be able to be in charge of their basic medications. They want to come to us when they have Lyme disease, have us diagnose it, treat them with natural medicine, also antibiotics if need be. They want us to help adjust their blood pressure meds. They want us to adjust their, you know, any cardiovascular med. I mean, there's so many basic everyday medications that I see people on that I want to be able to manage and adjust. And the other big thing is compounded stuff.
Right. Yeah, being able to order that.
Yes, absolutely. So a big thing that we want to be able to use is bioidentical hormones. That's another thing. And, you know, you can get over-the-counter versions of those things, but you have so much more freedom when you can get something tailored to your patient. That's the other thing with prescriptive authority. That's something we like to do. We like to tailor our treatments to our patients. And compounding pharmacies are excellent that way. I mean, they'll make things up for us. You might have something that has a drug in it as well as natural medicine to mollify some effects of that drug. And you can create a cocktail for your patient that would be more tailored to them than because of our extra knowledge that we have.
Right. You know, one other thing that I left out, some of your audience may know that there is a naturopathic college in the state of Connecticut, and it's been here for 20 years.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it's closing because...
Oh, no.
No!
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I had no idea.
The school doesn't have enough people coming to it, and one of the great and main reasons they don't have a robust student body, and no school can survive on, you know, ideally the student body would be 60 to 100 people. The typical student body at UB is 22 to 30 max.
That you mean so, per class or per this whole school?
No, per class.
Okay. That's not very, I mean, my class back in the 90s was bigger than that.
Yeah. So the point I'm making here is UB's closing.
Oh.
The reason UB's closing is because this state has such an antiquated law for naturopathic physicians. Many of the people who are interested in becoming a naturopathic physician won't go to this school. They will leave the state. They'll go to the other schools that have prescriptive authority. there's a school in Arizona. Every DMDs in Arizona can use prescriptive authority.
Yeah, I think Arizona is one of those states where they have a huge formulary that they can pretty much prescribe anything that an MD can prescribe.
They have a few carve-outs, but just a few drugs whatsoever.
Right.
So the point I'm trying to make here is we lost the school because the state was not willing to take a look at this issue more seriously instead of just say, then they don't even know what our training and education is. All they know is it's not the same as a medical doctor. And if it's not the same as a medical doctor, then we're not going to do anything. And then the argument of, well, we do it safely in other states, so why can't we do it here? It just goes over their head. So the school is toast. They're going to make sure their students graduate, but it's the reason that people don't want to come here and go to school is because of the antiquated law. It's almost 100 years old.
Wow.
What a
shame.
And
hasn't been substantially changed. And this would bring it really up to speed. So, again, my suggestion to your audience, if they want to and take the responsibility, they can write a short letter to the DPH commissioner. And you guys have the address and the name and that little ditty that I said before. I'm a citizen of Connecticut. I have a naturopathic doctor. I want my naturopathic doctor to be able to have limited prescriptive authority. I believe they're well educated and trained to do that. It happens in many, many other states on a safe manner. Please make it happen here or something like that.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, that's obviously part of the solution there, but we've got to get a lot more information out. Do you have any other ideas as far as solutions go?
Well, the only thing, somebody's been telling me we should start a petition and get 50,000 names on the petition.
Right. Now you're talking. Yeah.
You know,
I know it's a lot of work. I understand.
Well, I'm going to look into it because there's got to be ways of doing that electronically and easy ways to do it, but I don't know for sure. Because, let's say we had 50,000 names we walked into the legislators with and said, look, it's not like the people of Connecticut don't want this. They do want it. And I don't know how much of a difference that would make, but that's a strategy because, here we are doing this for 6 or 7 years, and we're going to have to do it again in an 8th year. It just becomes ridiculous. We just go up there and say the same thing, and I don't know what they're trying to do other than wear us down and make sure we go away, but we're not going to go away.
Right.
Well, with the shortage of PCPs, it just seems like this is
it's a no-brainer.
Kind of an obvious move in the correct direction. And I can tell you right now, I tried to get a PCP a little while ago to get a prescription for Lyme because I needed more antibiotics, and there's a waiting list. You can't get in.
You have to go to urgent care.
You have to go to urgent care in order to do that.
And I could have prescribed for him.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
I totally understand that, but I'm not bashing the medical profession here at all. I'm just giving my honest opinion of what I think, why they oppose us so much and don't take any information that seems reasonable and work with it. They have their slant, their bent, and if we didn't do exactly what they did in school or residency, then, it becomes a bit of a pride, ego thing. And they don't like our medicine at the end of the day.
It's not what they're taught. And they're taught what they are, essentially what is funded at the medical schools.
But they're really being backwards. What they're doing is it's It's not rational. It doesn't make sense because you have evidence of all of these other states where naturopathic medicine is being successfully provided with prescriptive authority.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the only possible reason, because when you look at the science, when you look at what's actually going on, naturopathic physicians practice safely with prescriptive authority right alongside their natural medicine. The patients are extremely happy with it. It takes the onus off of having to provide so many more PCPs. It provides a lot more PCPs or primary care to those states. So the only possible reason that Connecticut is doing this is emotional. It's emotional. I can't speak for them whether it's an egotistical thing, but it's irrational. They're going against the good of the people. This is
right.
Not helping people. It's not good for people. It's not good for us. It's not good for the pocketbook of Connecticut. And that's the other thing. If we could prove that there's a financial benefit to us providing prescriptive authority, it doesn't make sense financially for us to not provide.
Well, there is a financial incentive. Think of this.
Yes.
I didn't say something before. Many of the people that graduated from the naturopathic program at the University of Bridgeport left the state.
That's right.
Right.
Because they don't want to practice under a 100-year-old law. So economically, look what they just lost. They lost somebody who's going to go buy or rent a house, pay taxes, buy cars, pay taxes on
right.
that,
right.
pay taxes on this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, Connecticut doesn't see that as a real something we need to treasure and save.
Well, that's part of it. That's an excellent point. However, they're not going to care about 100 people leaving the state to go practice somewhere else. There's got to be a way. It's hitting the state in the pocketbook that we're not able to prescribe in terms of healthcare. It's costing healthcare more. The fact that we can't prescribe, that there must be a way to prove that.
There probably is, but who has the time, energy, and money to do that?
Somebody. Somebody could put that together, though. That is something that we need to think about to present, because that's something that legislature hears. Oh, it would cost us less money to have naturopaths prescribe. Maybe we should look at this. That's something they might listen to.
I remember that there was two studies done, one at a tire company in Canada, because there's naturopathic physicians there.
I know. I was one of them.
I believe that study is available.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a gentleman in Vermont who did something very similar, set up a naturopathic program with a company. I don't remember his name, though, but... we could probably find out. And it was proven that if you follow a certain framework of doing healthful things, it saves the company money.
Right. But one of the things that you said was that, for example, somebody comes to me, they've got a UTI. We diagnose them with a UTI. We give them some of our nice natural medicine. We tell them, drink lots of water, drink your cranberry juice. We, give them some kava for their pain. And then, but we see that, this is a fulminant infection, and we really do want to also prescribe a pharmaceutical, but we can't. And as you said, they came in, they paid us a copay. It hit their insurance, their visit with us. Now they have to go get their antibiotic elsewhere. They can't get in to see their PCP because their PCP doesn't have acute care, right? Isn't that what happened to you, Ron?
Right.
Doesn't
exactly.
have acute care.
Yep.
So they're going to go to urgent care. How much more does urgent care cost the insurance company than if they had just been able to go to their PCP or if they'd never had to leave my office? So this is the sort of thing, like just in an everyday way, it is costing the state and the insurance companies more money.
They're paying double.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
because
right.
Because they're getting double dipped on because of the fact that they can't have one provider.
So the insurance companies mm-hmm. don't like to spend money. I know that because of the number of times they get denied, my claims denied.
This is the angle right here. This is it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the insurance companies would like to spend less money. That may be another direction to go, that we have to hit the insurance companies and say, dudes, really?
Yeah.
And maybe hit them with the idea of how much is the, what did you say earlier? Is it polypharmacy?
How much is polypharmacy costing you?
How much is polypharmacy costing them in a lawsuits because of the possibility of something that goes terribly wrong?
Rick, we need to do lunch.
And yeah, we need to do lunch.
We need a planning meeting.
Yeah.
Well,
because there's, I mean, there has to be an enormous cost to the insurance companies for the mistakes that are made with the overuse of pharmaceuticals.
That's right.
And if you can, and if you can, you know, trim it down to the fact that you're using naturopathic medicine, which is less inclined to go that way, and cut their costs down, it seems like they would pay a lot more attention.
And
to
that
it.
We're going
to
help.
They're much more powerful than you guys are.
Right.
That will be something we'll be thinking about, because we need to change the strategy, because just going and asking and putting forth something that seems very fair and reasonable, we're getting ignored.
Well, yeah, because the medical commissioner, obviously the commissioner is all like, you don't have the training, go away. But but the state is always looking for ways to save money. We need to have a talk with Ned.
Yeah. That would be good. You know, definitely have a talk with the governor.
I see Dick Blumenthal and Ned once a year for sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe I need to see them more. But they come to the Boombox Parade. Well, definitely Dick Blumenthal does. He comes to the Boombox Parade every year. And so does and last year Ned Lamont came as well. So maybe we'll get both of them again this year. So we have this marching band, this parade in Willimantic every year on the 4th of July that anyone can participate in. And every year for as long as I can remember, Dick Blumenthal shows up and he marches and then he stands at the end of the parade and anybody can go talk to him. So I always do. And I get a picture with him and you can say whatever you want to him. So just so you know, that's an opportunity to see him.
Well, I think what you need to do is you need to put together a carefully planned format outline of what you would like to discuss with him and pass it to him.
Yeah.
And let him read that and let him, and you know, present it to him in a very, you know, matter-of-fact way, very simple, and say these are things that we think would be
the only thing
helpful.
Is he's a U.S. senator. I don't know how much power he has in the state. Greg Haddad. Greg Haddad is our buddy, and he's our local.
And there's
rep.
A lot. We could hit a lot of the locals. I think you really do have to hit the locals up in order to get things done locally. But you know, so all of your representatives, and there are a lot of representatives throughout the state of Connecticut.
Because we know three of them personally. Greg Haddad is our local rep. We chat with him at Starbucks. Susan Johnson is the one from Willimantic. She's not directly our rep, but we know her, and I've been on her show. And Linda Orange is your cousin.
Yeah, it's all true.
Right. So anyway, this is an angle that we need to look at, that, you know, that this is hurting the state in the pocketbook. It's hurting the insurance companies in the pocketbook.
Right.
Yeah. So because of what you said, this double dipping phenomenon, and that's really sad that this naturopathic college, because of the law, the naturopathic college, if we had a better law, that naturopathic college would not have gone away. It would have had a lot more students. And like you said, you would have had students that are staying in the state and contributing to the economy.
Yeah. And, you know, over time, that's not a small thing.
No, that's true. That's true. How many people, when we went to the National College of, I mean, I thought about it when I was at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine, I happened to fall in love with a Newfie and move to Newfoundland. But if I hadn't have done that, I was going to open up probably in Milwaukee, Oregon. So how many people fall in love with Oregon and stay there and contribute to the economy? Oh, yes. What did you say? 2,000 naturopaths in the state of Oregon?
Yeah, at least.
Yes. And what's the population of Oregon? Do you know?
I don't. I mean, it's a very large state, but right. I don't think their population is huge.
Their population may be similar to ours. All right. I'm Googling it. Population of Oregon. All right. So the population of Oregon is, get this, 4.2 million. What's the population of Connecticut?
3.5.
3.5. Not 3. Much 5, less, yeah. Right?
Yeah. No.
400 naturopaths, you said? There's about 400 of us practicing in Connecticut? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. And 2,000 in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And again, it could be more. It could be 3,000 for all I know.
Right. And so the deal, so you have thousands of naturopaths practicing. So the naturopath per capita in Oregon is orders of magnitude higher than Connecticut. And and if you look at the state of Oregon versus the state of Connecticut, Connecticut is, it takes 2 hours to drive across, right?
Right.
It takes how many? Five, eight to drive across Oregon?
Huge.
Exactly. Yeah, so you have clusters of population in Oregon, but Connecticut is a very densely populated state. Mm-hmm. It's an industry that could be so much could be so much bigger in this state, and we have a much more densely populated state. Right? The whole thing doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And then I had a an article that I pulled up here, and it was done by the Greenwich Times, and it was this was back in July 21st of 2018, and this was a study that was done from the Robert Graham Center, a Washington D.C. based medical research firm, and it showed at and this is back in 2010, it showed that Connecticut needed another 404 additional primary care physicians by 2030 to avoid a shortage. So in 2010, Connecticut had 2,580 practicing primary care physicians, according to the study, which accounts to about 1,385 residents per doctor. So here's your, this is your angle. Your angle is very obvious here.
Right.
You know, there's a huge shortage. The shortage is going to get bigger.
Yeah.
And between that and the fact that you can cut the cost to the insurance companies, it just seems like a no-brainer. Just got to figure out how to present it, Rick. That's
all. We've made all those arguments multiple times, but I think completely overrides any logic is there's many, 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 many let's just call them oppositional types that don't want this to happen because of a number of reasons, and they basically have a lock on the DPH people and a lot of legislators. So how do you change that? You know, we thought that this new woman coming in, because she had lived in Washington State for a while.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
That she would know about naturopathic physicians. And because Washington has full prescriptive authority except for certain narcotic drugs.
Yeah.
So who's the target? Who's blocking? Do you know exactly who it is or what industry it is that is actually blocking it?
The medical doctors, the nurses.
So it's at the AMA? Is it the, what is it?
The Connecticut Medical Society.
It's the Connecticut Medical Society, basically.
Okay.
And the Commissioner of Health. If the Commissioner of Health doesn't care about naturopathic medicine in the state of Connecticut, and certainly this initiative where it could provide so many more services to the citizens of Connecticut and reduce duplication and save money, that's a no-brainer. But I think they're so set in their ways regarding, you know, believing what, I'm sorry, the medical profession says, and they are very persuasive. There's many of them, and, you know, there has to be some sway over them because legislators need to get reelected, I hate to say.
Well, they do. But, you know, maybe there needs to be a lawsuit. Maybe there's some sort of a powerful way of getting attention in some shape or manner.
And we just might start to, we have to now kind of retreat a little bit. But the session's going to be over, not next week.
Yeah, it's coming to an end soon. I know.
Think it is.
Yep.
It's next week on Wednesday.
Yeah, and then they take some time off for the summer. So
yeah, and, you know, then the whole thing starts cranking back up in February. But there's a lot of time off. So
there is.
We, as an organization, really need to sit down and develop a couple new strategies and see where that goes.
All right. Lunch. We're doing this. Come on in the air.
If you want to do a planning meeting,
we're going to sit down and we'll bring some
we'll
other people in
yeah.
and we'll sit down and have a brainstorm on this.
Yeah. I'd be willing to do that.
We'll throw some ideas out and see, you know, What do? You throw things up against the wall and see what sticks, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
Ron is definitely a fist in the air kind of guy.
Yeah, I am.
And I don't, and I am, I'm a good public speaker. I'll speak to 2 people and I'll speak to 2,000 people. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about looking like an idiot in front of a whole bunch of people. I would prefer to look intelligent, but, you know.
I'm sure you would come across just fine.
Yes.
Yeah. She presents well. We can dress her up and take her out. We can do that.
Okay, good.
Yes. Why haven't I ever presented at a conference? Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Because you never asked.
Right. They would let me. I just have to come up with something that I really, really wanted to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure it's not a matter of we won't ask you. You just have to.
I have to decide what I want to talk about. Because the thing is, public speaking to lay people is easy for me. But when I'm speaking to my colleagues, I feel like I have to present something. I feel very responsible. I have to present them with good data and resources and studies. And that takes a lot more putting together. So I would want to do it in a really responsible way.
I agree.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, when you speak, I love it when you speak because Rick gets up in front of our conferences and he does clinical pearls. He does pharmacy update because, Rick, you're a pharmacist, right?
Right.
In addition to being a naturopath. So you do the pharmacy update and you also do clinical pearls with us, or you have done. And you're awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I haven't done that for a while, but
I know.
I always do like doing it.
You and Shiva Barton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both my buddies. I both always look forward to when you get up there. Because you both have a somewhat humorous and sometimes dry and often humorous way of presenting. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So the lunch thing, if you guys want to throw some dates at me, we can do that.
Yes, we will do
that. We'll do that when we get off air. That's a great idea.
Yes. Yeah. And bring Robin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Well, we must be out of time, huh?
We're getting close.
Just about getting that. That's true. Yeah. So,
well, is there anything else you want to ask me regarding this whole thing?
Well, so I think we've got some great information. One of the things that we're going to do is we need to put together that information. I wrote down Renee Coleman Mitchell's name and address, and I'm going to put together something to set out at my office to encourage my patients to do it, and then I'm going to encourage my patients to do it. Because some patients come to me and say to me, what can I do? Because they do want me, they would like me to manage their meds, and they would really like me to be their PCP. I hear that all the time. Go ahead.
A general letter, and Rick, you could work on this, a general letter that you could use to distribute to all the naturopathic physicians that could be just handed to people that all they would have to do is fill out and send would be a great way, or some sort of an electronic file like that, too, would be helpful.
Yes.
We do have all of that, and we do use those, but, you know, doesn't mean we can't resurrect them and keep it going.
Right.
You know,
and I just wonder if the personal letters work better.
I believe they do.
Yeah.
When we've had people write to their legislators, we do it electronically, and we put in some information, and right in the middle of the body, we say, write something personal about your experience with a naturopathic physician.
Yes.
So that way, it's not just the same letter to everybody.
Yeah. And we probably should sit down with Greg Haddad once again and talk about how important this is and talk about what he's actually done. Because when we talk to him, he appears to be supportive.
Is he a House member?
Right. Yeah, he's our local representative here in this district, in Mansfield.
Right.
And like I said, we have personal access to him and to Linda Orange and to Susan Johnson. Susan Johnson even has a radio show on WILI.
Right. She does.
Yeah.
Well, you know, right now, the session's not over. I don't know that we'll prevail at all.
Right.
But you could still ask people to write letters to the commissioner and even talk to their legislators.
Yeah.
So that would be helpful.
Yes. And we kind of need a movement. We need an inundation.
Well, that's why the signature thing, the petition.
Yes.
And think of this. What if even 80 or 70% of the NDs in the state asked 150 of their patients to write letters to the DPH commissioner and their representatives in government.
Right.
Patients doing it, not doctors. Patients. The thing I've been told many, many times is legislators listen to their constituents.
Yes.
So that's a more or less untapped avenue that we could go down is make this be all about patients rising up in great amounts and reminding the legislators that they want this.
Yes. Yeah, and I hate to say it, we have to figure out a way to hurt them in the pocketbook, because that's the other thing. Somebody has to, or it has to be presented to somebody that this is hurting somebody in the pocketbook, because that's something that gets heard. So,
well, you know, at the end of the day, it's the patient that's getting hurt in the pocketbook, because they want to come see us. We can't treat them. They leave. They have to spend more time, energy, money, gas, wear and tear on their car. That's hitting them in the pocket.
And then they have less money to put into the economy of Connecticut, which is hurting.
Right.
Right. So these are all things to be presented. This is all the sort of stuff that we should work out. Yeah. All right. So Rick, you have been in practice. My goodness, how many years have you been in practice?
35.
Wow. My goodness. And was Middletown your first practice situation?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you founded the Connecticut Center for Health.
Right.
Nice. Wow. And didn't you also help found Pure Encapsulations?
I did.
That's so cool. So Pure Encapsulations is one of the companies that naturopathic physicians use to help their patients. And you were one of the founders of that company. And then you went on to found another company.
Vital Nutrients.
Yes, right. Indeed. So and you're very particular about what goes into Vital Nutrients products and how they are assessed.
Yes, they have to be of utmost quality.
Yeah, and you also do independent testing, right?
Lots of it.
Yes, which is that's really, yeah, so this is really interesting. So that's one of the things about naturopathic physicians. We have numerous, nutraceuticals that we use, and we have numerous companies that some of which were founded by naturopathic physicians that we oversee, that there's a lot of really terrific oversight of the company, so you can be sure that you're getting what you're supposed to be getting. And Rick was the founder of one of the two of those companies.
Right.
Are there more? Or
no.
Was it just the two? Two is still impressive, right?
So I have too much gray hair to have another one.
Ah, yes. Well, we're happy with Vital Nutrients. So,
thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
for
that.
Sure. So, once again, we've been speaking with Enrico Leiva, who has been a naturopathic physician in the state of Connecticut for 35 years in Middletown at the Connecticut Center for Health. He is also the founder of both Pure Encapsulations. It was one of the founders of Pure Encapsulations, and is currently the founder and CEO of Vital Nutrients. And a whole bunch of other cool credentials. Went to the National College of Naturopathic Medicine. But the big thing is that you, Rick, have been personally and intensely involved with this effort to get naturopathic physicians prescriptive authority so that we can be more effective and helpful practitioners and economical practitioners in the state of Connecticut. So we're really fortunate to have you and have you on this task and have been relentlessly working at this for so long. So thank you very, very much for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
And Rick is a cool dude. If you ever want to meet him, you can go see him at this Connecticut Center for Health, and he's a nice guy. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you once again, Rick, for coming on Radio Naturopath today. This was a very, very important topic. If you didn't get to listen to this entire show, it will be on podcast. It'll be up on my website, franzdorchnd.com, and on whus.org within a few days. And we'll also be on iTunes. And Rick, I'll send you the link and you can post it anywhere you like.
Thanks.
Yeah. So once again, thank you so much for coming on Radio Naturopath, Rick.
Yes, thank you, and enjoy your day.
You too, and we'll be in touch with you, and we'll get together.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Thanks, we'll talk soon. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, that was a great show. Very, very important topic.
Well, important stuff, you know?
No. So I have to go because Bicycle Talk is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM WHUS Stores when our special guest will be Dr. Kurt Beal, naturopathic physician from Connecticut and New York, and we're going to talk about all about the health benefits of being outdoors. I can't wait.
Oh, boy. That sounds like a good one.
So please do tune in next week on June 5th to that very exciting show.